about venture capitalists. He said, when they started, there was nothing like venture capital. A child will go to school. He tells his son. Sorry, a child will go to school, tell the friend. So what does your father do? He said, my father, this is an example he gave. He said, my father is a policeman. He said, everybody understood. My father is a fireman. Everybody understood. He said, when he said, my father is a venture capitalist, everyone was like, what? What is that? Even they did not, there was not like they invented and created it. They just realized that there's so much going on in the scientific world that this is going to be make good business one day. So they began to invest in young engineers who are ready to do things. All those men talking, of course, they are old now. If it is money, forget. I mean, by the time you are bankrolling things like Intel, they bankroll Intel to start. You know what's Intel? Just look at your computer, Intel inside. There was I think when Intel started, then the guys came to him and said, this is what they want to do. And they said, how much money are you looking for? He said, $2.5 million. He said, how much of the company are you ready to give up for that? They said, 50%. He said, good. In a week, he had put $2.5 million together. He said, that was the beginning of what they call venture capitalism. That is to be a venture capitalist. That's when he started. I'm looking at an issue here. So you may be thinking that this is how business goes. God just say, wait, there's a new one that we're about to start. Let's open your eyes. See it. That's why Christianity is different. God is alive and very current. It's not just current. It's actually ahead. I like to emphasize that all the time to Christians. That's why I said the most important thing you need is understanding. What Daniel, was seeking for was understanding. And he waited for 21 days to gain understanding. How many of us do that? Wait 21 days for miracle. Yes, we can fast for miracles. But pray until you have understanding. Marriage is not run like this. I need understanding. Business, no, it's not going the way I think it should go. Don't pull a Bible, sit down in one corner. And it's not just, okay, God, I want to fast today. No, it is this matter until we resolve it. Let it be a year. That's why I told you, total fast is not good. It's not safe. That is not safe. You know why? You can't declare for a long time. Yes, can you? Nah, after some time, you say, God, you know what, sir? They come, I want your face. When I say, that's what I mean by it's not safe. It's not safe. You can't, but this kind, Daniel didn't set a time limit on it. It was the angel that ended in 21 days. And he was able to carry it. And when I'm talking about fast, yes, you go to work, so you can't go away from work. And say, Saturdays, everybody, one word, sorry, I'm sorry. I can't come for wedding. That is until I hear from above. I'm not going for weddings, namings, burials. No after work party, nothing. That's all I'm talking about. No, look at the way he cuts out his life. Trimmed everything off. Just basic food. That is, I go to work in the morning, 8. Yes, I close at this particular period. Or I'm a business person. Instead of closing my shop normally at 6, by 4, I've closed. So what about this business between 4 and 6? The food between 8 and 4 can sustain me. Are you getting my point? Yes, this one, I'm not waiting till 6. It's like food. I'm not doing for a while. Say, how long? I don't know. Until I know how to break away from this cycle of being in one shop for 15 years and nothing else is going. It's okay. All these years, I've been closing at 6 and 7:30 with everybody. We're all still here. If I close at 12 from now on, I won't die. I will have enough money to pay rent in that shop, in case it's not mine, all right, and sustain myself. And you can make up your mind that you not, and you're not going home to go and watch match. Oh, I forgot to add that one to it. No match watching this period. No bad news. No, like I said, when I want to entertain myself, I watch bad news. That's what I mean by Calamity News Network, all right, CNN. No bad news. When I get home, it's confession of the word, a book. I'm studying, I'm praying. Until have insight in what to do next. Can't stay on one spot forever. But remember what I said, it's not just moving because the place is dry. No. We move because we have what? Understanding, insight, direction. Alright? Very important. Alright, so I just wanted to drop that one. So that was how Daniel did the fast. But again, let's get back to where I was talking about. So he said, I did not use any ointment until entire 3 weeks were completed. And on the 21st day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Ophir. His body was like beryl, his face had the appearance of lightning, his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. He said, "Now I, Daniel, I alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone, and I saw this great vision. Yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned into a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees, and he said to me, 'O Daniel, man of high esteem.'" Oh, I believe that when a man wants understanding, God says he's a man of high esteem. He said, "Understand the words that I am about to tell you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you, And when he has spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart on what?'" I like my version, New American Standard. It says, "From the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Now, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. That's why how come it took that long for me to get to you. The very first day your words were heard, and I was sent to come and give you the revelation, the understanding that you were seeking. But I'm coming after 21 days because I had a problem on the way. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come," this is verse 14, "to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision pertains to the days yet future." Now let me stop there because I think I've brought up the points that led me here. But quickly, let's read this other one, just quickly. That Luke chapter 18, just quickly. Verse 1 says, "And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." This is the parable, verse 2. There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And the Lord said in verse 6, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now, those are the two scriptures I want to read. We may refer to some as we are going up and down, but these are the two main ones. Now, I said I want to just really speak about perseverance in hope, all right? Persevering in hope. Now, don't forget, we are talking about intercession. We're not talking really about praying for ourselves. There's a difference, just for emphasis. Interceding means you are bringing up the case of another. Interceding means you are bringing up the case of, let's say, a nation. All right? Let's say you take up the judicial system of a country like this, or you work in a federal institution and you are praying for the place, or you work in a big company and you just want to pray for the whole establishment. That's intercession. That is, you're not praying for yourself, you are praying for something that is beyond yourself alone. Now, I said to us again and again, that's in previous teachings, that this particular portion, Luke chapter 18, said Jesus was telling this parable so that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart, and not to get tired, which means simply, when they pray, there will be the risk that they will lose heart. What I just want to emphasize to us, all right, as we go on, in all this our learning, is to understand that it's important that whatever you are doing, when you are praying like for a country like this, that you always have an expectation that good is coming. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Some time ago, it was my wife that first asked me that question. She asked it like this simply. What if Daniel was not waiting? On day one, the angel left. He arrived. Now, heaven is not that far for people like that. For people like him, it's not the distance. You know, if you launch a spacecraft carrying people from Earth, you know how long it takes to get to Mars? The round trip is 18 months to get to Mars and come back. And those things fly at incredible speeds. A normal jet flying from here to Lagos peaks at about 800 and something kilometers an hour. But a spaceship passes between Enugu and Onitsha in about 4 seconds. Yeah. That's how they whisk past. At that speed, it takes about 9 months to get to Mars. Not for angels. Not for angels. It's not distance. Because they move between realms, really. So, they could do it in an instant. Now, so, for him to take 21 days, there were some things happening on the way, all right, that obstructed his, let me use the word, appearing in the earthly realm. That's a better word. Not really traveling the distance, but to appear. That's a better way to express it, all right? To leave that heavenly realm and show up in the earthly realm. I mean, something was happening on the way, like we read here. So my wife asked me then, said, okay, what if on the 10th day, Daniel stopped praying? What if on the 15th day, he was no longer there? On the 20th day, he wasn't there? You know, until she asked that question, I never thought about it, really. I'd heard of people talk about I've heard people talk about, all right, it's important you persevere and all of that. But I never asked that question. What would have happened if on the 15th day he didn't come? That Daniel stopped, that the angel had not arrived. And this is the answer. All right, that, after I thought about it, that's the answer that came to my mind. I believe the Holy Spirit. Now, get this point. The angel left on day one. If Daniel was not there by the time he got there, it wouldn't be that the prince of Persia, succeeded per se, or that the angel couldn't break through, or that Michael was busy in other areas. Say, yo, hold on, they come. I'm fighting these Amalekites first, you know, that kind of thing. No. It would just have been one simple issue. And that is the fact that Daniel did not have the faith to wait. And you see, because you know that he's being drawn, all right? Was the faith of Daniel actually working? So it would be it's simple that the faith of Daniel couldn't draw that fellow onto the earth. And so he would have had to turn back. Not because he will get there and say, Daniel, where are you? Where are you? They look, they can't find Daniel again. He was praying here. And when I heard he went to Jerusalem. What happened? Did he go for pilgrimage? Let's go and look for him there. No, that's not the issue. The issue is simple. The strength to break through that barrier. Now, please get this. I feel I've just connected it. The strength to break through that barrier would not have been available to that angel or Michael that was coming to help him. That the strength is derived from the faith of those who are down here. Are you connected to what I'm saying? I hope you're getting the point. That is, it is not as if the angel will get tired. It is that there's nothing anymore drawing him. There's nothing drawing him anymore. Therefore, he will have had to return without giving Daniel the answer to the prayer that he was praying. That would just have been it. So Daniel's absence would have been a reflection. Now, that's where I'm going. It is not as if somebody's angry that Daniel stopped. It is that his absence would have been a reflection of the fact that his faith was not there. It was not enough. And that's what I'm talking again today about persevering in hope. Let me quickly talk about that word hope again. Hope is not a wish. That is the mistake we made in the word of faith. When they say hope is now, that faith is now, hope is a failure. Go and read it. I don't want to mention names now because some people now, human beings are funny. If you mention that name, any other thing the person says, they say is wrong. Talking about hope. Now, so one of the problems all the people had is that we kept on saying that hope is a failure. In fact, there are books I read, you see, a chapter titled The Failure of the Hoper. That hope is always saying tomorrow. Hope is always saying tomorrow. It never lays hold of it. He looks at it, he admires it, but he says tomorrow, 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 so we say hope is a failure. When I began to study the scriptures, I was growing. I said no. The confusion, all right, was simple. We confused what the Bible called hope with what the Englishman called hope. When we say hope in common day English, it's a wish. The proper word actually is wish. So we say, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. Do you understand? Now, but when the Bible says hope, no, that's not what it means. The Bible says hope, it means if the literal Hebrew and in Greek, both of them mean firm expectation. Hope is always based on a reason. It's never a wish. So the Bible talks about Abraham hoping against hope because his life had two expectations. The first one was that, see, what do you give me seeing that I go childless? That is, at his age, the age of his wife, it was clear that he was going to go childless. So he had an expectation based upon an evidence. Then the word of God came to him. And that was said to him, Eliezer of Damascus will not be your heir, but one that is born from your body. So that gave him another expectation. And in Romans chapter 4, Paul commenting on that said he hoped against hope. That's why the hopes were two. Because if both of them were, the same one way to conflict with the other. If both of them were wishes, there would have been an issue. We're explaining that. We understood the expectation, all right, born out of the event in his life. So we understood why a second expectation came to override the first one. So hope is an expectation. Now, back to intercession. Don't forget Daniel. Daniel was praying. He was actually expecting. That's what I'm trying to explain. It might take long, but he knew it had to come. I can say this to you. Let that angel take one, if you are taking 1 year, at the end of 1 year, Daniel will have still been waiting. You notice something? I don't think Daniel was just kneeling there in one corner in that prayer all the time. Just like I said earlier, a man can go to the business, cut out some things, and be back early and start praying. You understand? He may have visitors and talk to them for a few minutes. As they leave, he goes back to start praying. Why? Because I think Daniel was praying alone, but the day the angel arrived, he was not alone. There were men with him. There was some natural happening around. They knew because the presence of angels of that caliber, they caused some disturbances in the movement of winds and the earth and all of that. So those men ran away. And that angel, actually the angel scared them away, like, ooh, all of you go. So all of them ran away. Only Daniel was left alone. He now began to converse with Daniel. The point I'm making here is this. Daniel was trying to live a fairly okay life, but remove all excesses. All right, and was constantly waiting. He never lost hope. That's what I'm talking about. He was expecting. We're talking about intercession. Let's take our contrast as an example. There are people who have been praying for a long time, and what they have been praying for has not yet manifested. So many people give up. It's not worth it. But you see, it is coming. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
I said it is coming. You must have that expectation. You know, there was a man, his name was Simeon in the New Testament. God said to him that you are going to see the salvation of God. And the man couldn't die. He tried to die, but death did not die him. Or death did not die him. The day he heard Jesus cry, when they came, then they brought him to the temple. The Holy Spirit just said to him, that's him. He was so glad he went there, blessed the child, blessed Mary, prophesied over Mary, and said something. Now thy servant can depart in peace. You are not going to die.
Amen.
Until you see some things happen in this nation.
Amen.
Listen, you will tell your children stories. You know, sometimes there's a story we tell a lot in this country now, which is very interesting. The one I like to tell all the time because it's very romantic. And I know young people like to hear it. Look at the way he's looking at me now. Is that those days, to talk to my wife, we were not married then, and then after we were married, to talk to her, because I could only call from public phone, and she was at home with her parents. And the time I would have enough quiet to talk from a public phone, when the queue won't be too long, was at night, around 11 o'clock, 11:30, talk till 12 midnight. The young woman living with her parents, that hour is very unholy. You know? So I'll go and wait patiently. When that time don't reach, she's also waiting. Go down, take his nap, maybe in the afternoon, then go and sit beside the phone. Downstairs, sit beside the phone. And there was an extension right beside her parents' bed. At past 11, the phone go ring. My father-in-law, you know, gets stressed. But my mother-in-law, she wants to know who's calling that house at that time of the night. So my wife will snatch the phone. First ring, phew, don't grab the phone. Pant down here. Hey, how are you doing? I knew, you know somebody else is listening. So you just all the holy gist until you hear click. I'm not going to say anything unholy until that your mama don't hang up. You just say click, hair. So your mama don't hang up with her hair. You say, baby, how fun? What's happening? you understand what I'm saying? And then after we got married, and then I came to Enugu, she was in Lagos. On Sunday like this, after church service, she's going to meet Pastor Kpoju. Many of you know Pastor Kpoju. And Pastor Kpoju understood. He would just hand her his phone. He has a mobile phone and an intercellular or multi-links then. So she's going to sit quietly outside church with Pastor's phone, waiting for the phone to buzz. Once it buzzes and he sees 042, you know, saying that me from Enugu. But that means I go, don't go for UNEC. You know, those of you remember, UNEC. Yes, just line up there. I had my card. I used to buy 1,000 unit cards. That was the card I used to buy. That was a godly one for a man who's in love. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that was the only way we could communicate. But when we tell the stories of young men who are growing up now, they wonder, like, what was wrong with all of you? Why? You mean you didn't have free night calls? Even this one at 12 midnight, we were paying. You know, the one we were doing at 12 midnight. They don't understand. Like these days, you know, my son, how can you do? The boy is just over 10. I mean, all of you know him. When I get home, he said, Daddy, please put on your hotspot. That is on my phone. I just switched it to mobile hotspot. Picks his mother's tab, opens it, and he's doing homework, assignment. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Said, there's nothing this Google does not know. At the age of 10. Not your fault. That is when I was writing my finals as a specialist, not medical school, postgraduate. To do my project, I will go to NIMA, Nigeria Institute for Medical Research, and go and pay for one woman to load CDs to be searching scientific publications on what we call Medline. But now, my 10-year-old, I said, Daddy, please put on your hotspot for me. I put it on my phone. He picks his mother's tab and starts checking anything. In one generation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me let you understand that everything that people are in all over the world to experience, right here, you will experience it and more in this generation. Yeah. And you will look back at just a few years ago and you wonder, well, how did we manage? And you will wonder, how did we manage? And that is going to happen. Listen. What is drawing it down? That's my message. It's your faith. That's what is drawing it down. Nothing happens just like that. You think angels just didn't want just one walk. I say, most stroke, go reach earth. You don't just stroll down to the earth. The Prince of Persia is there. You don't just stroll down to the earth. The Prince of Amalek is doing his own. You don't just stroll down like that. Somebody pulls them down by force, with the force of their faith. And the only tactic, I believe, well, don't say the only. The major tactic those guys use is to delay things so as to make you give up. If you give up on Nigerian police, they will never recover. You give up on the power sector, it will never do well. You give up on the health sector, it's dead for life. You give up on the educational sector, it's dead for life. You give up on your destiny, it will never manifest. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, no matter how delayed this thing appears like, I'm not giving it time, but I'm not going to change my mind. This is the interesting part. Do you know people in the Old Testament? Eh? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they died. No, you must understand what I'm saying. As they were dying like this, they were seeing things happening that had not yet happened. So they died in faith. I like the way they say this, died in faith. That is, after they died, their faith was still pulling things. Go and read your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 said, these died in faith, not having received the promise. They hadn't received it physically. But by the time they were dying, they just, you know what they did? They just took their faith, screwed it to the earth, put the power on, and died. So the thing kept on pulling something from heaven down to the earth. Are you getting my point? Listen, prayer is not just, you know, I've been saying it all the time. It's not a religious, we have to pray, you know, that kind of thing. You know, like, you know, the joke I told you once. A young boy was praying, our Father who art in heaven, and God said, what can I do for you? He said, don't disturb, I'm saying my prayers. You understand my point? Our Father who art in heaven. The Lord said, can I help you? Said, please, excuse me, don't disturb, I'm saying my prayers. No, that's not what prayer is. That's why a lot of times Christians go to church, pray all night. Then all morning they complain. They curse, which is the worst part. Condemn the nation. The annoying part is 9 times out of 10, they speak about what they do not understand. There are those who are wondering why PDP has the right to suspend Rosemary Amaechi, but they have never joined a political party. If you have never joined a political party, I say to you boldly, you don't know the mechanism, whether it's right or wrong. You can't tell. So shut your mouth. Is that not nice? Just keep quiet. Because the Bible says a fool, when he closes his mouth, is considered wise. So just look wise all the time. So what's happened to the... I don't know. Talk about what you know about. There's some people who are criticizing Lagos. You know that, using that new bridge, in a very beautiful place. You know the Lekki Koyi bridge, very nice. And so I can be collecting 300 naira as toll. I told my wife, don't take it. Go and drive around and see the cost in fuel. That is, don't enter that bridge. Just go and take the normal route and see how much you will burn in fuel. You should pay that 250 with Thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I thank you. It's only 250. It should have been 500, but for your grace. I'm telling you, you don't just wake up every morning. All you are doing is criticizing. They want to kill us. If they didn't build that bridge, would you have died? So just go and pass another. Okay, out of protest, I know they pay. Go and pass the long one. Then you pay that 500 naira to NNPC and your mechanic. And Kia Motors selling you the next car because this one will soon die. Just give Fashionize 250 and drive past and you will be saved. What I'm trying to say, a lot of people talk about what they have no idea about. Meanwhile, they just finished praying. But because they have a culture of criticism. You know, I was talking to one of my colleagues today, one of my junior colleagues. He was my student, all right, but they are now my resident doctors. So we're talking about one of his classmates and all of that. So along the line, he said the young man had an accident. And the people took him from orthopedic hospital and took him to a traditional healer. That's bone setter. Traditional bone setter. So I asked the question. I said, I was shocked because he being a medical student, I thought he would have enough understanding to tell them that no, this doesn't work like this. And for those who don't know, you say, okay, are they not good? Now I'll give you the answer of that young man. No, first I'll give you general understanding. Bone is easy to set for anybody. Anybody at all. When we were children, we used to set the bone or fowl. I don't know whether you ever did it. All you people that grew up with Google, you won't do such things. All right? When I was growing up, there was no Google that time. There was no internet. And there was no PS2, most importantly. All right? So we actually used to play. Children these days, they don't play. They play PS2, PS, you know, they're there. On computer. Go outside and go and do the choo-choo-choo-choo, you know, with football. It's good. All right, but when I was young, we used to do such things. And we actually used to set the feet of a fowl, you know, the leg of one. It's simple. Just take the broken pieces together. The fowl will fight, but children were strong. You hold it, put a stick against it, and tie it. And then we'll now say that it's oil that heals it. We'll now be rubbing oil on it. I grew up and realized it's not oil. As long as that fowl is chopping something and playing around, it's going to heal. But I don't want to bore you with all that gist. So, let me now give you the real gist about it.
my guy said, I said, I was shocked that they did that. So I said that so that you understand that you have good testimony. No, actually it works. We also know how those in orthopedic do their own too. It's the same basic principle. The difference is that the orthopedic man has what Daniel has. A lot of the local guys don't have it. They have understanding. They know how bone needs to be arranged. They know when they finish setting bone, they do things to ensure that if two legs are still the same length, one doesn't become shorter than the other. We learn those things in school, you know? So they take all those pains. So I was shocked when I was told that the medical student allowed himself to be moved. It was a very serious accident, all right? In fact, the young man doesn't walk anymore, you understand? It's that bad. To move from that place to another. I was really, really surprised. So that guy now says something, which is what I want to tell you. That's why I'm telling this whole story. You know, my story, they long sometimes, but this is where it is going. He says, sir, this is what happens. If good happens to the traditional man, it is magnified. But when it happens in the orthopedic hospital, it's not. The only one that is magnified is the bad. They will tell stories of a man who was there for 2 years and nothing came out of it. Then they tell you the story of one man that went to traditional healer. After 6 weeks, he was back to walking normally. What they will never see is the orthopedic release of people after 2 weeks. In fact, there are people that the teaching is that we call it early ambulation. This person is too old to be placed on a bed for a long time. He will die from a stroke. So what do? You use a knife, cut the place open, use physical hand to join the bone, screw it with nail and chisel and hammer and chain. They have their own. No, they have their own reel. They call it nails and pins and plates. They do that physically. Stitch it back and make sure that a few days later the fellow is on his feet. Give him crutches and go back to work. If we put this one on the bed, you die from a stroke. They are those they release in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But nobody tells the story. They tell you that that's how Mr. Jaleko has been there for 18 months. Till now, the leg has not yet healed. When they took, it's a fat lie. A lot of people that go to the local people die of tetanus. Nobody talks about it. A lot never get healed. This young man did not get healed. Finally, they brought him back to medical place. And finally took him abroad. But at the time, this guy said they can't do anything anymore. They brought him back home. Now, why am I talking about this? Talking about hope. People tend to magnify that which is bad if they have a wrong spirit. The Bible says, take heed to your spirit. I'm teaching you with the word of God tonight again to let you know your spirit must be a positive spirit, because without it, the good we're asking for will not come down. That's why people like us always magnify when good things are happening. When I saw the picture of that Lagos Bridge, I sent it to everybody on my WhatsApp. I look at it. Somebody said, are they planning to build this one? God, the guy couldn't believe it. He said, are they planning to build this? I said, it's not planning. It was built. It was opened a few days ago. He said, wow. Ola Yinka said, this Fashola man has the spirit of God. Yes. If you're in Lagos or you remember it, with your spirit, draw down that rail system, the one that I plan to build. That 10-lane road that's going to Badagry, it's important. You know, the good thing about things like that, I like them happening, is that once they happen in one place, other guys can't say, hey, this Fashola man wants to be president, we too will be president. Paul said, whatever reason, just preach the gospel. You get what I'm saying? Whatever be your reason, we don't care. There are those, their own is that we too must be president one day. So they are doing all kinds of good things. Fine. Don't worry, we'll vote for you. Don't worry, just do it. In fact, we promise to vote for you at the appropriate time. You understand what I'm saying? What am I trying to emphasize? Hope. Hope is not just a wish. It is stronger than a wish. It's an expectation. I expect that in a short while, I won't know what they call power failure again. Amen. That before my power goes off, I will be informed on radio. Please, all residents in this district of Enugu, we crave your indulgence. We would like to announce to you that from 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, by which time every responsible man should be at work, till 1 o'clock, we shall be maintaining the transmission system in this particular area. Please, bear with us. You may have some power failure at that time. It will happen in a short while.
Amen.
I said it will happen in a short while.
Amen.
Let me quickly pray one prayer. May all the old men that don't understand, may they go for re-education or retire. Amen. That prayer is important too. I don't want to bore you with stories. Something made me pray that prayer today. There are those in civil society that still believe that you must fill one form in your one handwriting 10 times. They don't know that you can fill it online and click go, and it goes to 10 people. Those are the kind of prayers you pray. But most importantly, that's what I want to emphasize. You must never lose hope. What did I say? Hope is not wish. Hope is an expectation. You must understand that one of the things that's energizing that angel and energizing Michael, all right, to break through the obstruction into manifesting on this earth is the faith of men who are down here. The people of God, men and women, who are pulling them down. And they must never give up the pull, like a tug of war. Are you getting my point? Until the opposing party falls down to our side, until blessing breaks through and manifests on this side, we will never give up hope. Listen, don't forget what I said. Some people died and they still did not give up hope. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible says they died without having received that promise. All God gave them was visions. I've said it to you again and again. Look to the stars. So will your descendants be? Were the stars literal? I think so. Yes, Abraham saw stars. But that's one half of the vision. The second half of the vision is the one you should connect with. What Abraham saw as stars, some of them were motor cars. Some of them were skyscrapers lit through and through. Some of them was Lagos. It was a Lekki Ikoyi Bridge at night. Some of them na Enugu Road in the evening. When you come out at night and you have never seen, Michael Faraday did not exist in your time. Are you getting my point? Isaac Newton was not there. You would think they are stars. What do you think? If you bring a man from 3,000 years ago, just show him Enugu at night. He said, they have stars on the streets. Yeah, some of them used to carry small stars into the homes. I actually saw a little child change his star in his father's bedroom. What the hell will you call a light that does not flicker? And it's shining very bright. No, mister. So when God showed Abraham, so will your descendants be. It's anything you want, take. That is, Abraham saw your greatness. And when he died, he did not give up hope. He knew you would be great in this life. Amen. He knew that you would be great in this life. Amen. And he died, not giving up hope. You have no right to give up hope concerning anything you are praying about. Amen. Your family will be sweet. Amen. Very prophetic word. Somebody has almost given up hope on their father and their mother and everybody. I'm telling you tonight, that family will still be sweet.
Amen.
Your children will be proud of their grandparents.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I hope you've got my point tonight. Let your banner here and just give it all thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.